I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we continue with our Spirituality, Faith, and Healing series. My first guest is Mark Ehrlich, who is a nationally known teacher, healer, intuitive, author, and ordained priest. Using his gift of healing, he has helped or taught thousands of people over the past 40 years, how to transform their lives. During this time, he has continued to study and was initiated into two Gnostic schools. He says his gift of healing is available to all, and he teaches or uses his unique techniques in experiential workshops, his writing, and in individual appointments. Mark has appeared on numerous TV and radio stations across the country and has been on the board of directors for the Mind, Body, and Spirit Foundation. He has presented nationally at such organizations as Whole Life Expo, Association for Research and Enlightenment, the Mind, Body, Spirit Conference, Unity Churches, the Himalayan Institute, Whole Life Expos, RCP, Relapse Prevention Center, Buone Brith, Infinity Foundation, Borders Books, and Barnes & Nobles. He also teaches in the deaf community in Illinois. Mark has published Creator, A Guide to Self-Awareness and Spiritual Empowerment, and Take My Life, that was just published. He also has two meditation tapes, produced in alliance with Nightingale Conant, and three spiritual exercise tapes published in the Phoenix area. He is finishing his third book, Intuition, that should be published in 2011. More information is available at www.markerlichs.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Mark, and I look forward to hearing about your gift of healing. First, how did you start and learn about your gift?
Initially, about 38 years ago, I was in a little chapel in California. I was just kneeling before a little Mary shrine. And I had never been in a chapel before in my life, ever. And there was a picture of Mary on the wall. There was a candle that was in red, a red glass around it, and then there was it was on this little table, and the picture of Mary was I didn't even know who Mary was. I was brought up Jewish. And there was a rose in this little vase, lead glass vase. And I was just there, and I was looking at this picture of Mary, or the woman that was there. I didn't know who she was, and I started shifting around to straighten up the picture, and I was really bored and tired. And so I started plucking the petals of the rose, and I was shifting back the picture again to a little straighter, or even making it crooked, then straightening it up again. And I was just playing around, really, and I was very tired, and I started to put my head down, and all of a sudden, I found myself in this nonlinear world. I was looking, it was like an old English countryside with hedges. And then I was watching myself through these hedges, this great maze. And then I found myself shooting into the maze, but it opened up in a non-realistic way. It was just very strange. And I'd never had dreams like this before in my life. I saw myself then in an old English countryside as soon as I shot into the hedges. I saw myself there, and next to me was an old park bench, like the old Chicago-style park bench, thin slats of wood and ornate iron and all. And I was standing in front of it, and in front of me was a dirt road that was about maybe 10, 15 feet wide, and it led into a forested area that I couldn't see into, that had an archway of trees, and it was just black in it. And then to the right, there was a old monastic style building. It was made out of huge stones, and there was a gate that went up, and the gate had two chains, one on each side, real big chains.
Mm-hmm.
It started coming down, and the chains were clanking, and as I was standing next to this bench, and as it came down, there was a procession of monks that were four deep and ten long, and so about 40 monks
mm-hmm.
that came out with hoods over them. They were in brown robes, and I couldn't see their faces. Their arms were in their sleeves, and the robes went down to the ground, and I couldn't see their feet. And they started to pass me. None of them looked at me. Then, finally, the third deep, at the very end of the procession, stepped out, took his arms out of sleeves, put his hood back, and came up to me, and he introduced himself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about healing. And as we talked about healing, he initiated the conversation, asking me questions and then telling me statements. And I followed up with asking him questions about healing. And he would answer me, et cetera, went on and on and on. And then the procession came back out of the forest that they went into. And he walked back into the place. And they went back into this monastic type building,
mm-hmm.
and the ramp door went back up. And then someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I'm going to come and get you, something to eat."
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to take me somewhere. And I said, "Fine." There was more to the story than mm-hmm. Just that, but
mm-hmm.
That was the basics that had happened. The next morning, I thought, before that, I walked out the door, I looked at my watch, and it was 5.5 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had never heard of healing before.
Mm-hmm.
The only healing I ever heard of was through hypnosis or through doctors or whatever. And I didn't know anything else existed. I never grew up with a Bible in the house,
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV, it just never, affected me. And back then, you didn't hear about healing. I was 20 years old at the
mm-hmm.
time, many, many years ago. And so the next morning, it was about 7 in the morning. I was outside of a building. I just eaten, cleaned up, et cetera. And I was going to get on a bus soon. And there was an indigent person that came up to me. And I didn't know if this person, he was short. He was
mm-hmm.
about maybe 5'2", 5'3", balding, greasy head. And I didn't know, as he was approaching me, if he was going to knife me, shoot me, stab me, do something vile, say something to me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen this person in my life. And as he was coming up to me, he stood right in front of me. He looked into my eyes and he said, "Put your hands on my head." I said, "What?" And I looked at his greasy head and I said, I didn't want to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying this to myself. And he said again, "Put your hands on my head." And I actually felt compelled to put my
mm-hmm.
hands on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I felt a weird sensation coming out of my hands. And I didn't know if it was from the blood pressure or
mm-hmm.
what.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about 5 or 7 seconds, he said, "Take your hands down." And I did. And he looked at me and he said, "Thanks for taking my headache away." And he walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw him again.
Mm.
And later that day, someone came up to me with a headache and said, kept telling me, right, looking at me, "I have a headache." And I said, "So?" And said, "Take some aspirin." And this guy looked at me again and he says, "I have a headache." And then all of a sudden I remembered what had happened with an indigent person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Can I try something really weird with you?" He said, "Yes." And so I put my hand on his head. I reached up. I felt the same sensation for 5 or 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my hands down after it went away. And he said, "How in the hell did you do that?" And I said, "I don't know."
Mm-hmm.
And so ever since then, I've been growing with it and developing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned over the years that it's light. It's the energetic. It's the life that comes forth from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us doing it, but it's
right.
our life as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I've worked with people with black eyes. I put my hands on their eyes. I saw later that day that it was no longer a black eye,
mm-hmm.
or someone with a strep throat, or all kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept developing and developing and turning into what it is today. It's the light that has a consciousness, the
mm-hmm.
light that has the intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It knows what to do more than I know what to do. I've just learned how to put reference to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned how to help people understand that they too can do it if they choose,
mm-hmm.
and which is why I work with the workshops, etc. And so since then, at one time, I remember there was a woman that came to me when I was seeing people in appointments in Illinois, and her son had just moved me into a new home with the moving company that he worked
mm-hmm.
for. Or, excuse me, that he owned.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me what I did, and I told him that I was a healer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just took my word for it. He called up his mom, who lived in Israel. His mom actually flew to see me, which really blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started telling me that she's been to the best neurologists in the world and other doctors, and she has these massive pains in her body. And it starts in her head, and it goes, just permeates all throughout her constantly. She's on meds, and she was on all kinds of things, therapies of all sorts. And so we set up the appointment. She came to me, and her son set it up. She didn't even speak English.
Oh.
She spoke Israeli. And her son is there translating, and I said, okay, tell me, do you have these pains now? She says, yes, I live with them. And she was a 60-year-old
mm-hmm.
lady. And so I had her stand, and I put my hands on her head, and I had a sense that there was more to it. So I started what I call scanning.
Mm-hmm.
I took my hand about 6 or 8 inches from her
mm-hmm.
body, and I went all the way down, and I felt something really like a real heavy, intense energy, and an energetic coming from her little bit above her kneecap
mm-hmm.
In her right side. And so I put my hands on her kneecap. And I had this sight that she was a real young girl, about 7 years old or 6 years old, and she was running in an alley, and she was being called, and she was running to whoever was calling to her, and then all of a sudden a rope was being pulled
mm-hmm.
from both sides of the alley, and she fell over. Someone had played a trick on her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she fell on her head. And that then she starts shaking in her body. She was a real big woman, maybe about 180, 200 pounds. And she was just, it was like her flesh was jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going through all this trauma at the time through realizing what I was saying and that realizing what had actually happened, and she remembered that incident.
Mm-hmm.
And she no longer had the neurological problem, she said.
Oh.
It was all gone from then
mm-hmm.
on. She remembered every detail of what had happened
mm-hmm.
and through the translation of her son, and she was crying, and it was just, it lasted for maybe 15 minutes, the entire session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And her son wrote me with her translation saying that she was fine
mm-hmm.
from then on. She never had any more problems.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned what they felt when you were doing this, heat and cold and all. Do you have any sensations when you're doing this?
Initially, when I first started, for the first few years, I would feel a warmth through me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my indication that something was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, through working with thousands and thousands of people, I've actually worked with about 25,000 to 35,000 people
mm-hmm.
In working with them and teaching them,
mm-hmm.
and healing circles and events, et cetera. And over the years, these sensations of mine, on the most part, have gone away.
Oh.
And from that, though, I think that a small sight has developed where I'm able to see a dilemma of drama and trauma that the person had gone through in order to create their situation today of who they are, what they are, and why they are today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Right. That's to me. Right.
It's all in the memory,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the memory is stored within us. Something we may have experienced at the age of 6 or 7 is it's still creating, it may not show for years, but it's still creating a distress in the body,
mm-hmm.
or in our dysfunction,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in some way or another.
Right.
Whether it be neurological, skeletal, biological, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Then, Mark, you share the gift with others through individual appointments and classes. And
yes.
you say that this gift is available to all of us. How do you
yes.
teach others to heal themselves?
I have either a one-day or a two-day workshop. And no one leaves without proving that they can work with it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the workshops that I've given, as small as 10 people, all the way up to 250 per workshop, but all over the country,
mm-hmm.
no one leaves without proving it. It's so simple. I help them to get into their intuition. There's no gift that any human has that doesn't have the intuition working.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to recognize that. And what I mean is we recognize our lives to realize that there's something that's feeding us life. And it's told to us and it's shown to us and it's felt through us through the intuition, which means inner teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the intuition that we're able to perceive the information. And I help people to understand that world just a little bit. And if you want to understand it more, you know, there's further, et cetera, et cetera. But we can get into that so easily. And my job is to help people realize that, recognize that
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In themselves. And so I just go after them full force in the first beginning of the workshop all the way through the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they do recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with individuals differently than you do with the group?
Yes. Yeah. And I teach people in the groups how to do that and how to work with an individual. And with an individual, they'll first come to me. I ask them what situation they would like for me to help them with or that they can recognize within themselves. And, I've had headaches all my life. Okay. It may not always need to be remembered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a person may not have to go through the trauma again
mm-hmm.
or the dilemma again in their recognition of it. Even though I'm helping to become objective in seeing it, they may not have to be put back into that world of seeing it. It just may need the touch of my hand, or
mm-hmm.
my hand may be 5 or 6 inches away or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a word on my mouth may trigger something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never know.
Do you believe, like Dolores Krieger, that everyone can heal themselves by using their hands?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I'll tell you, she's the forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a lot
mm-hmm.
of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught many, many people. She was right on.
Mm-hmm.
And people can. You can even use your hands on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or later, as you get practiced enough in it, it can be with a thought.
Mm-hmm. Plus,
the hands are only an intent
mm-hmm.
for show.
Mm-hmm.
It's still all energy, so the energy can come forth from you without the physical.
Mm-hmm.
But some people need to identify. Most people do. And that's why the use of the hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've learned in our world.
Well, it's probably the same as intuitives. Most intuitives are intuitive, but some of
yes.
them use tools that they don't really need to use, but it facilitates their being
correct.
Able to
right,
things.
Because people need to identify. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% right.
Uh-huh. So you teach people then to do an assessment of themselves like we did in Therapeutic Touch, or what is the process, I guess, is what I'd like to know a little bit. The process that you use with people when you're teaching them how to do their own healing.
First, the workshops are based upon helping people to recognize, first of all, the intuitive self. And that leads into, I even take a teach and take through a simple meditation the way that I was taught. The meditation, the purpose of meditation, the way that I was taught, was to go within, ask a question, and get an answer, and get the heck out. And that's simple. You want to know about something, you can be taught an elaboration of what you want to know about, if you already know something about it. Or you can go in, and if you don't know about something, you can go inside, and an answer will come to you of what the basics are about, or an elaboration of it. So that's the first process. And that's, I think, the really biggest, too. And to trust yourself, the true self, not the our identifiable self, the self within, which is that divinity within that we call God or creator or universe or whatever, or self, whatever. And to recognize that it's really real, even though we've heard about it all over life, here's the time to have it prove itself to you. Because that's our life. That's what moves that light through you, the energy that keeps every cell in its memory of where it should be. It keeps every organ functioning the way it should be. And when something goes out of whack a little bit, we have the opportunity, as I teach, to go within and see where we can make a correction or a tweak or whatever, or, you know, something skewed. And then it's showing people technique, and that's the next big step. I show people the way that I've learned to develop it, and working with the hands and without the hands. It's really an advanced workshop, and it's for, I teach venues of every type, every teacher out there, different venues, many, many of them come to me for this and to learn my technique. They can use my technique. My technique is not the only way. They can use mine with theirs or with just the way it is or some other way, venue. It doesn't matter. It enhances, though, and it works. And so this is basically it, you know, and, you know, I even show people, say, if you're scanning someone from a distance or even right next to them, you can feel and experience the dilemmas of their body without taking them on. You don't have to. You never really do in the first place, but we've been taught that we do. And so, therefore, we think that we do, and we do. But I teach people that you can't get cooties. And so you don't have to necessarily go wash your hands or go to sleep afterwards, or you don't have to, you know, ring bells or play an accordion or whatever. It's not you doing it in the first place. And it's really, you're not getting sick. Someone else is. And you're there to help that person remember that they're not sick.
Now, does either the practitioner or the patient, using that terminology, have to believe in a higher being, or is that irrelevant?
It's totally irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. Most of what we believe is that God or whatever is straight up, three blocks up to the left and four to the right. And it's really the divinity within us. It's written in the great book that we're created in the image of God. If that's true, if we're really created in the image of God, if that's really, really true, then we have the ability to recreate in that image. If we're created in the image of God, then we have the ability to recreate in that image.
How does faith play into this? Is that faith in yourself in terms of your higher self?
You know, I tend to think that's an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And affirmations are things that we ask for,
mm-hmm.
That we don't have, or we're trying to reaffirm
mm-hmm.
something. In my understanding, and what I teach,
mm-hmm.
is that we can know, we can totally expect, and it will be done. It's just like when we truly pray for something,
mm-hmm.
we can be in a needy state of praying. That's one type of prayer. We can be in a state of saying thank you for something.
Mm-hmm.
That's another form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's all different types of prayers,
mm-hmm.
but there's also the knowing prayer, and that's in the tapping into of what's already there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right, right. Then, is there anything else you would like to talk about, Mark, before we look at your books and services and products?
Oh, I'm available to people to teach, and I feel that everyone has the ability to work with this so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've never met anyone that has not been able to prove at the end of the workshop or otherwise
mm-hmm.
that they too can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And going into the book,
mm-hmm.
the book is really well done. It's simple. And the name of it right now, and I apologize, it's not going to be put out for another, say, 5 to 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and Balboa Press is going to be putting it out, and they're a division of the Hay House. And maybe later Hay House will actually pick it up, which I'm praying for.
Mm-hmm.
And the book will take you through how to do a meditation in a really simple way.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you through technique that I work with. And it'll be just very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's called Creator, the Revelation of Healing Yourself and Others. And there are some used copies on the internet. And I don't know if Balboa Press is going to want to change the title of it, but it's by me, Mark Ehrlichs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just about finished all the corrections, and they're going to take it over from there and then put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another book that I've done. It's called Take My Life, and it's a prose. It's allegorical. It's a conversation that I had with another being when I was going through a really great dilemma
mm-hmm.
in my life and a lot of confusion. And this voice helped me through it over weeks of time. A tremendous book. It's
mm-hmm.
very well written. It's short. It's only 85 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. How, then, can people reach you?
By the website, Carl, yeah,
mm-hmm.
at Mark Ehrlichs, MarkEarlix, that's my email, at AOL.com, or through my website, MarkEarlichs.com,
mm-hmm.
or I have a blog that has information on it
mm-hmm.
as well, and this information are like mini articles, only a few hundred words each, and it's Healer, H-E-A-L-E-R, MarkEhrlichs.com.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do you have final words?
God bless everyone out there. I'm thrilled to death for you choosing me and to be on your show. I just think it's most marvelous. What you do, your work is just tremendous. And I'm just grateful to know you.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that, and I'm happy to know you also. And I may call on you as I get older. But I'm hoping I'm going to stay healthy for a while longer.
That's wonderful. I let people, quick mention is that there's people from around the country that contact me about healing and to either come to their venue or whatever or place or workshop or be a keynote. I've done many of them. And there's other people that form a group of people and ask me to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very game. I'm very open at this point mm-hmm. in my life. And I take everything into consideration. And then there's other people that sometimes contact me for phone appointments, mm-hmm. and if they were to email me, I would be more than happy.
And you can do healing over the phone?
I do. I talk with them,
mm-hmm.
and I might suggest an exercise, or I might suggest where something. I don't tout myself as a psychic,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I kind of stay away from that
right.
terminology for
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I might see something.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow that called me, had a real great dilemma with his weight, and he was about 400 pounds, and over the years, he's been hinting that he might ask me to try to help him, and
mm-hmm.
I've always hinted back, maybe I can, I don't know, or maybe not, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. And so he finally called me, and in my mind, I saw a vision of his father and the controlling factors
mm-hmm.
pertaining to him in his life. And we talked about that for a while and a lot of the dilemma that he had gone through. And then it brought him to tears, and he remembered a lot of this stuff. And it brought it out that all kinds of scenarios with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's actually lost a lot of weight since then.
Good.
Mm-hmm. For the first time in his life.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Right.
I let the old man or old woman upstairs take over.
Great.
Nothing to do with me, fortunately.
Right. Well, I thank you very much, Mark. I've enjoyed this.
Same here.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a real honor.
Thank you. I waited over a year and turned down several offers for sponsors to find the right one. After reviewing the current issue of a distinctive style magazine, I know that with God's help, I picked the right one. The video interviews, the written pages, the magnificent pictures, and the music I heard were all fantastic and included interviews with such stars as Clarice Leachman, Mark Victor Hansen, and Antonio Sabato Jr., and music by Paula Nelson, daughter of Willie Nelson, and Mark Ballas in his debut solo album. But this was just the start. Then there was a series on cancer in celebration of National Cancer Month, and interviews included survivors and those who work with cancer, such as Olivia Newton-John, a survivor, Melinda Marchiana, a 16-year-old survivor, Fran Drescher, and Dr. Sharon Winter, also a survivor who used alternative treatments and later became a naturopathic physician to help others. Then I saw a picture of a magnificent cathedral, probably in Europe, and heard the voice of 7-year-old Rima Marvana singing Amazing Grace and the Lord's Prayer. Reading about her compassion for others and hearing her voice brought tears to my eyes. Magazines do not come better than the Distinctive Style magazine. I can't imagine what could top this issue, but I look forward to seeing, and I'm sure you will want to also. Go to www.adistinctivestyle.com to subscribe to this remarkable magazine. My second guest is Reverend Brian David Johnson, Doctorate of Divinity, who grew up on a farm in Iowa, where he developed a deep love for the aging population. He completed a baccalaureate degree in institutional management from Iowa State University and spent almost 23 years in positions with management responsibility, with the most recent being the United States Postal Service. During his years with the Postal Service, he obtained a Master's in Organizational Management from the University of Phoenix and executive training with the United States Post Office in preparation for successful planning for an executive position. In 2000, he was in a serious automobile accident that required reconstructive surgery of his spine. Through numerous surgeries and challenging rehabilitation, he moved from a path of management to spiritual discovery and healing. He thereafter received his Doctorate of Divinity from the American Institute of Holistic Theology and became an ordained minister from the United Christian Fellowship. He also became certified in administration and instructs the pilgrimage healing process, and also is certified as a chaplain with the International Federation of Christian Chaplains. Currently, he practices a one-on-one healing ministry and works with business partners, developing an internet business focus on aging that is scheduled to launch in 2011. He can be reached through email at this time at brian-johnson@cox.net. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Brian, and I look forward to hearing about your auto accident and spiritual recovery.
Thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and let me give you a brief background on what happened that day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was back in May of 2000. I was driving on the interstate here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and the traffic was slowing down as I was going eastbound on the interstate, and all of a sudden, it just felt like an explosion happened. And at first, I was dazed. I thought, well, was there an explosion, or was it an earthquake, or what was it? And as things started to settle down, I realized there was a Kenworth logo in the trunk of my car.
Mm-hmm.
I had been rear-ended by a semi-trailer, a construction trailer full of rock, about 20 tons of rock, had rear-ended me as I came around the corner. And on impact, I knew immediately that I was in trouble because I felt a burning sensation from in my skull,
mm-hmm.
where my spine connected to my skull, and all the way down to the very tip of my tailbone. It was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, my life has been changed. Obviously, I was in a great deal of pain, but as most people know, your adrenaline kicks in at that point, and I willed myself to stay conscious because I was operating on purely adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to stand up and get out of the vehicle, and I refused to go to emergency, but
mm-hmm.
I knew I was in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that accident, I went and saw my doctor and determined that I had indeed severely injured my spine, and that my life had definitely changed from that point forward.
So what did he recommend? What medical interventions?
Well, from those injuries, I did quite a bit of MRI checks and CAT scans and all sorts of evaluations and diagnosis. And the prognosis was that I had to have spinal fusion, and in particular the low spine, the lumbar area.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually what happened, I had anterior-posterior fusion of several levels of my lower spine from S1 to L3
mm-hmm.
in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently after that, due to the injuries in my neck, I had to have a fusion C5-C6. But I went back and continued working, and I got promoted to a higher-level job in Denver. It required a lot of travel, and within a few months, my left leg was basically, I was dragging it around. I could not control it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a situation where I went back to my orthopedic surgeon, and he had told me that my leg was now in a situation that it was going to be paralyzed, even if I had more fusion surgery, which he recommended because I had compromised above the fusion that
mm-hmm.
in the lumbar area by being so active.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into the surgery saying, okay, pretty much 100% chance you're going to be stabilized in your spine,
mm-hmm.
50% chance on the pain, and 0% chance that you'll be able to use your left leg again.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you might as well get used to the idea that you're going to have a paralyzed leg, my left leg. And so I went and got a second opinion, and that was the opinion of that physician also. So I went in and had the surgery in May of 2003,
mm-hmm.
and so I came out of surgery, and my left leg was, I couldn't move it. And so the doctor said, well, we knew that would probably happen. And so I was sit there in rehab in the hospital. I went to a rehab hospital, and sat there and contemplated, what does this all mean? And really going back to the roots of my faith, because it's out of my control now. You know, the experts tell me it's going to be paralyzed. But I just didn't think that was what, in my heart, I didn't feel that was what my destiny was. As a result of that, I've always been very prayerful and meditating, so I was praying, whatever I'm supposed to know, how can I fix this situation or move forward? I had a moment of divine enlightenment. And through that moment of divine enlightenment, I was taught how to heal myself. Let me clarify that, because we are always in a constant state of healing. But when you do focused intent on something that has happened to you or is happening to you, whether it be an injury or disease, there's a different process we can go through to expedite that as a focused intent. So that's what I was told about light, love, and energy, and sending it to the darkness in your body and bathing those darkness and regenerating it back to a light state and expelling the darkness from your body. So this was all told to me in thought process, in the communication. And so I, you know, being a skeptical in nature, going, did this really happen? But I said, well, what have I got to lose? Let me try it. So I did. I sat in rehab. I went outside and I sat in the sun and I just sat there and let the light flow into my mind. And I sent it to the darkness in my body, which were the damaged nerves, permanently damaged nerves in my left leg, and bathed them in light. And then the light became dark, and then I expelled it out of my body. And I could wiggle my toes. And the doctor came in and checked me that day, and I said, look at my foot. And I could wiggle my toes and move my foot. And he goes, oh, my gosh, that's a miracle. And so he called all the other doctors in who had known about my situation, and they go, this is a miracle. And so I continued to work on this leg.
Did you tell him what you were doing or not?
I said it's divine. I didn't tell him exactly because I was, you know, people do look at you like you might be a little crazy when you talk about things like this, but when they see the results of it, I will say this condition of my leg was so bad it atrophied down to just a shin bone and the fibula, the tibia and fibula, that my dad, being an old farmer, coming. Saw it before I had the surgery in 2003, and he said that wouldn't even make a good soup bone. That's how bad it had atrophied. He said there's no meat left on it. But the reason I bring that up is after I continued to do this on a daily process through the rehab, and my leg started regenerating, getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and it's the muscles started to regenerate and get stronger too. So now, 7 years later, it's they're virtually the same, you know, both legs. So when I say about I was faced with a paralyzed leg, and now through divine enlightenment, which I fully accepted and it flowed through me, it wasn't of me, it was through me, that I was able to take a situation that the expert said will never, it was permanent, and turned it into something that was a humbling situation for me and made me know that there's huge possibilities out there for people that are suffering.
Now you walk, then you don't have any problem with your leg.
I would be not honest if I said I don't have any problems, but I do walk, I do play golf, I do things, but I know my limitations. You know, you don't, I've learned you don't test faith. You marriage it and bring it into your life and you encompass it and embrace it. And I would say that's what I've done with this process. I actually became so passionate about it that I got sent on a path of self-discovery about how do I help others. So that's where it's led me now in my life. I'm quite confident I can heal anything in my the Lord willing, that I can, any cut, anything that happens to me now, any situation inside of my body or in my physical being, that I can at least give myself confidence and comfort to enjoy my life. So that's what I wanted to share with other people. I did get ordained as a minister. I got my doctorate of divinity. All these things was not on my path to be an executive, you know, which I thought I was going to be before all these injuries and life-changing events. So I developed my own modality for healing, and I do distance healing, and I do all of these things in a loving way to help people deal with what life brings you, whether it be mental or physical or emotional, spiritual concerns that come up. So that's really what I do now. I have a one-on-one healing ministry where I do a lot of, I would say, numerous distance healings.
So people can call you and you do a healing over the telephone?
I can do that. Most of it I prefer doing by email, as far as getting the contact information and all of that set up, and then we can either do a call or a specific time of the day. It's what's convenient for them and for me. It's a mutual relationship, and that's how I approach it.
Do you Skype at all?
I do Skype. I have Skype. I also have a website that I developed, but I've taken it down, so I'm putting it back up on a better format. And the best way to get a hold of me is at Rev Brian Johnson. It's RevBrianJohnson at gmail.com. So if any of your listeners want to get in contact with me and are interested about more information, that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Now, do you have what the website will be once it's put together? Because this will go in the archives, and people may be listening to this 2, 3, 4 months from now.
The best way is going to be reach me on email.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to change the name of it, and I'm not quite sure of the name of it, so that's all. I would be speculative at this time. I'd rather have them reach me on email, and then I can get their name and send out the website address once it's up and running.
Now, you said that this changed your path. So how do you look at the accident in retrospect?
Oh, the accident was a blessing. I think if I advise anybody in my healing one-on-one ministry, is there's always something positive that comes out of even the worst suffering and challenges that we may face. And that's what I've taken away from this accident. I would say through the whole process, I never did say, why me? I usually say, why not me? Because I'm as the mental attitude and character to say, I'd rather have it be me than someone else. So I think it affirmed a lot of beliefs I had and a lot of faith that I was raised with. And it strengthened them. And the path changed on the way that I should have been going on. Now that I recognize it, I have a lot more peace, comfort, and joy in my life. And I mean, I wouldn't have felt that way if I hadn't had this accident. So it was an awful blessing.
Right. Well, I appreciate this, Brian. It's been interesting, and I think it's always helpful to listeners to hear how someone else has resolved an accident or an illness or what have you, and the changes that come about when one turns to their faith for comfort and, in your case, for healing. So I appreciate this very much.
Well, thank you, Carl. I just want to tell your listeners that no matter what you're facing, you can always turn to a higher source. I call it divine enlightenment, but I've always focused on the non-denominational, that we're on this path together, and this spiritual path, and it's we can be enlightened and guided along the way, and I'm there for people if they feel like they need somebody to guide them through, and I've seen the darkness and I've seen the light.
Mm-hmm.
So all you get from me is nothing but support and love
mm-hmm.
on a one-on-one, during my one-on-one healing ministry.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's hard to recognize the light if you haven't also seen the darkness.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so much sweeter when you have.
Right. Yep. Well, again, I appreciate this, Brian, and I wish you continued success in your work.
All right, Carl. Well, I certainly appreciate the time and many blessings to you.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I would also like to invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com. There you will find archives of all of the shows that have been presented on BBS Radio. In addition, you will find my latest book, Healthy Holistic Aging. You will find some ebooks, and you will find a CD on smoking cessation. Others will follow in the future. You will also find a place to sign up for the free monthly newsletter on healthy holistic aging. Last week, our guest read a poem that came to her following her overcoming post-polio syndrome. In future programs, you will have the opportunity to listen to other creative activities carried out by our guest as a result of overcoming hardships through their faith and belief in a higher source. Today, I would like to finish this program with a CD from one of these guests that you will hear from in the future. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.
We are the sunlight and the golden sun. We are the miracle molded in God's hand. The greatest ocean and eternal spring. Because of love, this song we sing. We are the mountains and the winding shores. We are the one and the love on which it soars. The magnificent earth and all residing. Because of love, this song we sing. The stands that hold me. We are the beauty that is unseen and unseen. A holy family to awaken in. Because of love, the song we sing. We are the music, the glorious harmony. Sounding God's symphony, oh, for all eternity, love and light we bring, because of love sings. song.